They're perishing, they're perishing now. Yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The mission trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. On the last broadcast, I gave a warning which was directed mostly to sinner folks. And in doing so, I read some from the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. This is a scripture about a watchman being set upon the wall and how he was required to warn the people of the city of impending dangers. Since there are two classes of people, one of which is a sinner and the other is a saint, perhaps a warning for the righteous would be in order, too. Now, before I get into this warning for the righteous people, let me first show you how a sinner can be made a saint by giving heed to the warnings of the Word. Ezekiel 33:15-16 puts it this way. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Don't think for a moment that your problems, your trials, and the complications of life are over just because you accept the Lord. Far from it, friends. This is really when your battles begin. And now, the warning for the righteous. 1 Corinthians 10:12-13 has this to say. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Did you notice that part which said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall? In case someone comes up with a theory that it is impossible for a righteous person to be lost, it might be well that we consider that statement. I would say yes, it is impossible for a righteous person to be lost as long as he is righteous. But once he errs from the truth and turns to his sins again, he's worse off than he was before. Listen to this scripture from 2 Peter 2:21-22. Now bear in mind that this is coming from the scriptures. I quote, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Isn't that a pitiful condition? If it were impossible for one to fall from grace or to turn from righteousness, then would this scripture have been necessary? I would say no. For we notice here that this person is in a worse condition when he turned from the truth than he was before he knew it. Think what happened to Judas. He had been with Christ. He had seen the miracles of healings. and other wonderful works of God, but for 30 pieces of silver he sold his Lord and took his own life by his own actions. His was a tragic ending after having been so closely associated with the Savior. Listen to this solemn warning from Ezekiel 33:13. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Friends, it is not only possible, but very highly probable that some of those who hear this broadcast are those who have fallen from the grace of God which they once knew and loved. If there is a person who is without doubt a miserable soul, it is a backslider. How can you be satisfied with the pleasures of the world after having once known the Lord and the pardon of your sins? But in order to avoid being in a condition like this, let us remember the words of Jesus when he said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Matthew 26:41. Now, a real true experience might provide some encouragement for those who are away from the Lord. I'll not give the names just now of this young couple of whom I'm speaking, but let me explain that the young lady knew what salvation meant. She'd been saved at one time and had once loved the Lord, but through the allurement of the world and the attractions of sin, she drifted far from God. Her life was thrown rather recklessly out, exposed to the deceiving things of the enemy of her soul. But God, in his mercy and providence, brought her in contact with a young man whose knowledge of the truth was quite limited. You see, he had not been brought up as she had been. He was not acquainted with the ways of the Lord to the extent that she was. Within a matter of weeks, or a few short months at the most, they were married. But still, down in her heart, there was that knowledge of the ways of God which she had forsaken. One night, as she lay restless upon her bed, seemingly unable to sleep, she called him by his name and said, "Do you know what we ought to do?" "Well," he said, "what's that?" She said, "We ought to give our hearts to the Lord and get saved." Friends, my heart is moved and touched by the response that came from this young man. As he said, "That's right, I think so too." So there in the night, both of them arose from the bed, bowed on their knees before God in prayer. They prayed until their sins were washed away and they were made children of God. Today, they're happily living for the Lord. But think how differently it might have been had this young man been hardened in sin and unwilling to give himself to the Lord. This word of caution or warning then to the righteous: make this matter of serving God your first purpose and business in life. Put him above friends, loved ones, and possessions. Yes, and even above your own life. God does not fit well into one's life as a second-place Savior. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, use the words of warning given on the broadcast to a real advantage in helping the righteous to hold fast to their integrity. And to Thee we will give the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Listen to this poem. O Church of God, awake! Despair stalks daily through the land. Dark-eyed despair, on every hand we see his work. In vain they sought in ages past, and shall they sink in woe at last through our neglect? In vain they sought the living way. In vain they seek today, and we've the light. The light of heaven our souls doth save, and yet for them our Savior gave his precious blood. Alone, alone, with none to save, with none to tell of him who gave his life for them, with none to cool the aching head, nor of the blood for sinners shed, to sweetly tell, with none to point them to the cross, with none to count the awful loss, they meet their doom. O Church of God, awake, arise, put on thy strength, fair Zion, rise, thy light has come. O tarry not to rise and shine, thy Lord has shed his light divine upon thy head. Within thy walls alone is light, the heathen sit in darkest night without thy gates. Then open wide thy gates of might, and let them not be shut by night, that kings may come. And bring again thy sons from far, nevermore thy beauty mar of daughters fair. Then send the news from shore to shore that Jesus Christ forevermore is King of kings, and that the glory of his might doth now the streets of Zion light with power divine. And spread abroad with joyful tone, the sun shall never go down nor cease to shine. And righteous now is every soul that number within Zion's wall, for they are one. Here's a song, The Perishing World. The singers are Manuel and Marie Mitchell and Francis Porter.
On the borders of eternity, the world is standing now. In a moment, all the wicked will be lost in endless woe. Oh, they need some gospel teacher that they might salvation know. Who will quickly go and warn them, brother, sister, will you go? Hear them calling for the gospel. Come and help us to be saved. Hear them calling for the gospel. Come and help us to be saved. Oh, how gratefully we welcome now the gleam of freedom's light. Yet the millions have not seen it, still they roam in deepest night. Hear, oh, hear from every nation cries of sorrow and distress. Time is surely swiftly ending, haste their dying souls to bless. Hear them calling for the gospel. Come and help us to be saved. Hear them calling for the gospel. Come and help us to be saved. We will pray the Lord to send his saving truth through every land. Go ye therefore, saith the Master, do you hear the great command? Oh, review your consecration, hasten to the harvest field, and a thousand souls in heaven gathered be thy golden yield. Hear them calling for the gospel. Come and help us to be saved. Hear them calling for the gospel. Come and help us to be saved.
Friends, I sincerely hope that the sinners will take warning, and the righteous folks too. If we may be a help to you in a spiritual way, be sure to let us know. Address your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. And now, until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be with each of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.